Amos chapter 7, verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. God, we come to your scriptures here, and we ask for you to open our eyes and help us to see your message, your character, your desires, what pleases you, what displeases you. Help us to see all those things and more in this passage and others in Amos. We thank you for this prophet, God. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for loving us, and help us, even as we look through these passages, through these scriptures, help us not to stray away from knowing confidently of your love in our life. Guide us, Holy Spirit, we pray, as we look at this verse, and the verses and this passage. Amen. Well, finally, we get to Amaziah, the priest of Israel. He's the high priest. Remember, there's Jerusalem, of course, in Judah. They have a high priest. And there's this division among the nations, and there's Israel, and there's Samaria and Bethel, and it seems to be that Amaziah is the high priest, and he's noted here in the scriptures. It seems that he has an important place, and he does, in fact. He most likely was appointed by Jeroboam in his position. That's part of what gives him the confidence to say the things that he has said. Interesting that Amaziah is fulfilling what we already have read in Amos. If you just let your eyes gaze back to chapter 2 of Amos, chapter 2, verse 12, Amos is rebuking Israel and has gone through all of this, speaking against Judah briefly, but Israel primarily. And in verse 12, you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets, saying, you shall not prophesy. Amaziah is doing that. And then Amos, for his part, if we just let our eyes gaze over to chapter 3, verse 8, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So Amaziah and Amos, in their person, who they each of them are, each of those men are, they're actually displaying what Amos had said in earlier chapters here. Last week we thought about the plumb line that God had set in Israel, and the plumb line being really God himself, God's word himself, but he's using Amos to come, and Amos, in a very real sense, is the plumb line of God, but not on his own part. It's God's, God coming as the plumb line, the word of God, and through the prophet of God being the plumb line. And so here Amos is coming, and he must have been very effective must have been very effective according to what Amaziah has said, because Amaziah says that really Amos is disrupting the kingdom. And he's come and said some things that have stirred people up, have stirred up Amaziah, of course. But in his message that he sends to the king, he says there in verse 10, the land is not able to bear or to carry or to receive all of his words. The land, being the people, of course, are not able to receive it. And it seems to be that Amos has spoken in such a way, very directly, spoken the word of God very directly and confidently in the word of God in such a way that it has stirred up the people. Amos is having his intended impact. The word of God is having its intended impact because it's stirring up the people. And it's stirring up the high priest, and it's probably going to stir up Jeroboam. We're not sure, but probably Jeroboam had heard of Amos. If he had not, he surely did by Amaziah sending word. Samaria is about 25 miles from Bethel, and back in those days they would have sent a runner, would have had a message from the priest going to the king. Someone would have run there and then come back with a message. All that would have taken 2-3 days to transpire. Jeroboam probably had heard if the people were being disrupted, but if not, Amaziah is making sure that he hears of Amos. So this word of God is having this disruptive impact, and it's intended to do that. I hope that at some point in your life, the word of God has had a disruptive impact in your life. It's intended to do that. The people that are real comfortable with everything that they read in the scriptures and not disturbed by any of it as it applies to their own life, well, that's a person who should be concerned. We should be concerned for them, because that word of God is meant to pierce into the heart, the marrow of our bones, and it's meant to disrupt us and meant to change us, not in a harmful way for sure, but in a way that changes and shapes us into being the people that God wants us to be. Amos has come to the northern kingdom and he has said, look, these things, your behaviors, your government, your religion, particularly the two primary influences in your nation, are not where they need to be. In fact, you people are not where you need to be. And that's disruptive to them because they could not possibly imagine that that would be the case, that they would need to change their ways, because as we've thought about in earlier weeks, consider the surroundings and really how good life is for the people in the kingdom. They're neglecting the poor people for sure, but the people in power are living a quite nice life to the extent that it's bringing the judgment of God. Well, Amaziah comes and he cannot accept the fact that his religion, the political leadership of his nation, who he's beholden to, and the nation as a whole are offensive to God. He just cannot accept that, cannot accept the possibility. There are those today that couldn't accept the possibility that they themselves are offensive to God, that their own religion, the way they approach religion, is an offense to God. Their loyalties and their devotion and love so strong for their nation, they couldn't possibly come to terms with the idea that it's an offense to God. That's where Amaziah is, that all around him, and including him, according to Amos, according to this prophet coming to Amaziah himself, the high priest in this distinguished position, is an offense to God. And Amaziah cannot accept that. Amaziah is not allowing the word of God to come in to his life and shape him. The word of God is coming through Amos, and in verse 12, Amaziah says, "Oh, seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah." He didn't want to have anything to do with Amos. So he's the high priest, and he sent this message to Jeroboam, and says there that Amos is conspiring against you, Jeroboam, in the house of Israel, in the midst of the house of Israel. Amaziah's had enough. The people have probably had enough of Amos. He's not bringing a message to them that they want to hear, that tickles their ears, that warms their ears. He's bringing a strong message that we've considered for six chapters, bringing a very, very strong message. Well, Amaziah is a smart man. He's in his position. He's not a dummy to be in that position. He very likely in that culture and in that world has an alliance with the king. He's probably been appointed in that position. He considers himself to have some authority in Bethel as the priest. So he's got some authority to tell Amos what to do. He's speaking on behalf of the nation. He's speaking on behalf of the king. Go. Amaziah has that kind of influence among the people, and that kind of position and that kind of attitude. So Amaziah himself is rebelling against the Word of God. And as we know from going through the Scriptures, that never turns out too well for the people. In the story of the Scriptures, rebelling against, pushing back against the Word of God, when the Word of God comes, and when it is spoken, when it is delivered, by whatever means it's delivered, and then to reject that, well, it doesn't turn out so well. That's what Amaziah is doing. He's rebelling against the Word. And the plumb line of God has come into his life, and the plumb line has revealed the corruption in his own life. The plumb line has come and, as I say, revealed the corruption all around him in his religion, in his nation, in the governance, and in the people generally. He's revealing that Amaziah is rebelling against the Word of God. So God is testing Amaziah. Okay, you're high priest of Bethel. You like to claim my name. You like to claim the name of Yahweh. Okay, the Word of God is coming. The Word is coming to you. Will you receive it? It's a test for Amaziah. No, this cannot be. We will not have anything to do with this seer. It's unbelievable that somebody would come into this situation and speak these kinds of words. So Amaziah sends this message. Amos has conspired against you. What he's saying is Amos is committing treason, conspired, some sort of conspiracy. Now, kings back in those days, rulers in those days, were in very difficult situations. They lived well enough for sure, but they were constantly under threat of being overthrown, even from within their own family, being double-crossed, being betrayed. It was constant among kings in the ancient world that this kind of thing may be taking place. So it wouldn't have been heard of that a conspiracy would be taking somebody. Amos is coming in and he's conspired. The high priest, from the king's point of view, the one that I've placed there, the one that I know, is telling me that this man, Amos, is conspiring. It may have been, in his mind, he may be thinking that there's people within his own household that are conspiring against him. That's in his mind. Amaziah knows his king. He knows that if he says something about a conspiracy, that's going to exercise the king. The king is going to get worked up about that, because that kind of thing happens in the world in which they live. The problem with that is it's a lie. Amos is not conspiring with anyone. There's nothing in the text from the whole book of Amos that indicates that he's conspiring with anyone else. As he reports here, he's being obedient to God. But Amaziah puts that out there. He's conspired against you, Jeroboam, in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear to carry all of his words. For thus Amos has said, this is what he has said, Jeroboam will die by the sword, die in battle. And Israel must go away into exile, go into exile away from his land. Well, that's not what Amos said. The judgment of God is coming, but to add emphasis, Amaziah is saying, Jeroboam shall die in a horrible way, king. This man's saying that you're going to die by the sword in battle. It's going to be horrific for you, king. And that's not exactly what Amos was saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword. Amaziah leaves out something very critical in his report to the king. God is the one that's bringing the judgment. He didn't tell Jeroboam that the reason Amaziah is saying these things to the nation and warning the nation is because God is bringing something. Amaziah places it on this rebel, this treasonous, is in his mind, a treasonous person, speaking out against the kingdom. But he doesn't say. What he's saying is, king, that God himself is going to come for you for these particular reasons, injustice, lack of righteousness, and all the things that we've read. He leaves out something very, very important there. So Amaziah tests Amos in this dialogue. Fascinating, actually. It's a fascinating test. He misrepresents Amos. As I said, he left out the key, the major thing that we've seen throughout the whole book is God is bringing it. God may use the means and surely will use the means of another nation. But it's God who's displeased, and God himself is going to bring this judgment on the nation. He only gave a partial truth. Some of what Amaziah said, there will be an exile. There will be an exile, but it's only a partial truth. And as I say, what's being left out is that he's speaking on behalf of God, and Amos says, God's going to come and do this. To fight back against Amos, or to test Amos, Amaziah misrepresents what the prophet is actually saying. He gives a few of the facts, but not all of the facts. And when not all of the facts are given, well, then that skews the message. It indicates something that's not necessarily true, because not all of the information is there. He misrepresents the loyalty that Amos has to God. He's claiming that Amos has conspired. He's working, that Amos is manipulating to overthrow the king, and he's leaving out something very, very critical. Now, maybe you've been exposed to that in your life. Someone to get the upper hand doesn't reveal everything that you said or that you intended. They revealed part of it. It's true. But only that part gives only a certain coloring to the picture. It doesn't fill out the picture. And that's a favorite way to test people, especially people who are, well, who have their loyalties with God, undermining people whose loyalties are with God. Twisting, manipulating, partial message so it shows, it indicates something that is not really taking place. Amos is loyal to God. Be nice if the king knew that, because the king's probably going to set out to kill Amos, and it would be nice if that information had come to him. Amos never said Jeroboam would die in battle, but that didn't matter to Amaziah, giving that partial truth to make it look like something is taking place when it isn't really taking place. Well, the next test is that he tempted Amos, temptation. He tempts Amos to pursue his own personal success and his own security. Look how Amaziah says it. Amaziah is emboldened here. He's telling Amos something here. Oh, seer, go. And that's said with sarcasm. It's a derogatory. He's not saying it as respectful of Amos. Oh, seer, go. Flee away to the land of Judah. Why would he want him to do that? Well, if you were in Judah, you would have a bunch of people around you in Judah that they may not like Israel too much either, and they'll really like your message. So go down there, because people up here are getting disturbed, and they don't like your message. The nation was not going to be able to stand, to withstand this, and you're saying this in the midst of these people. Go down there, you southerner. Go down there to southern Israel, into Judah, and people will probably like to hear your message. Go down there. Flee to the land of Judah, where you'll have a better hearing. Amos probably wasn't having that warm of a reception with what we've read so far. That's what Amaziah would do. Being a man of the flesh, a man of the world, in a priestly position for sure, a religious position for sure, but conducting himself, working in a way that is very, very worldly. And Amaziah would sure go where his message was well, really well received. That's the way Amaziah would work. Go and eat bread there. Now, in the Old Testament, with the prophets, as you may be aware from your readings, there's not a whole lot of there's not much of a picture of the prophets having great banquets. you don't see the prophets of God really eating very fine foods. You know, ravens supplying food and things like that. That's not the thing for prophets in the Old Testament. It could be, we don't have a report specifically, but very likely that Amos was a little short on bread. And it was maybe a little difficult for him to have a little something to eat. That's why it would be tempting to go to Judah, where your message would be well received, and you could eat much better. And everything that comes along with eating much better, have a lot of friends over, and the food, the banquet. Earn your bread there. Go there and eat bread. You'll get paid well there because they like your message. And you can have some bread to eat there. You can live better there than here, Amos. Why do this to yourself? The king's going to be mad at you. Go down there. You'll get a lot of friends that hate Israel. And they like it when you speak against us. They'll love it when you speak against the king. They'll just love it when you speak against the government of Israel. They'll love it. They'll eat it up. And you'll have a nice way of living. Eat your bread right there. It'll be good for you. Get out of here. Oh, what a temptation that would be. Especially for a prophet that was a little short on bread. That's what Amaziah would do. Because he was in it for the money. Yeah, Amaziah, he's tempting Amos with what he himself would be tempted with. Well, of course. We'll tempt Amos with what would have a great effect on me, Amaziah, perhaps saying to himself. Go there and eat bread and prophesy over there. Go prophesy. Go preach there. Get out of here because what you're saying is disrupting people and they don't like it. Get out of here. Go somewhere else. But he doesn't say it that roughly. He says it in a very tempting and a nice way. I'm sure the people down there would really like to have you over there in Judah, Amos. He doesn't understand Amos. Amaziah does not understand what it means to be called of God. Amaziah works in the flesh. Amaziah works according to worldly standards. He has no conception what it truly means to be called of God to a particular work. So he's responding to Amos like anyone who is like that would respond. Go prophesy there. Go preach there. Go bring that word there. as right as the message of Amos was, as scriptural as it was, because they had all of this scripture, the law of Moses, as right as all of that was, it was in line with what has come before you, Amaziah. This is the word. You have been told righteousness, justice, conducting your ways and conducting your affairs in a way that honors God. You know that. And Amos is speaking that word to the people, and the chief religionists of the area, and so certainly he would have backing of him. He's not standing out there on his own. He's having backing, saying, take your word and go prophesy somewhere else. What he is saying is, we do not like your word. What he is saying in the eyes of God is, we don't like the word of God. We like the words that we like. We have a particular way, our religious structure in Bethel, our particular structure in Gilgal, our particular religious structure way up at Dan in the north, or our particular way of doing things in Samaria. We have a particular way we like for things to be said and a particular way in which we like things to be approached. We have a particular Northern Kingdom tradition and the way we like for things to come. into our lives and to be said and to be conducted. And you, O seer, are bringing this message. You're bringing your prophecy and you're disrupting people. And we don't like it. Go that we don't like the Word of God. It's from God's viewpoint. Remember what I said earlier, when we read the Old Testament, all of Scripture, really, we're trying to reach in. And what are things from God's perspective here? From God's perspective, what's happening? Amos speaking for the people. Amos, we do not want the Word of God. Of course, that's not happening anywhere in the 21st century AD. We're religionists. We like the way it's done. We like a particular way it's spoken. But when the full counsel of God is given, no. Wait, go prophesy. They'd like to have you over there. And then he tells Amos that he's really in the wrong place. You, O seer, are in the king's sanctuary. Be careful now. Be careful what you say. You are in the king's sanctuary. Never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king. Who's the owner? It's not God's sanctuary. It's the king's sanctuary. With all that, again, what we've seen for six chapters, all the corruption that's going on in there, all of the syncretism and perversion of the Word of God, the king's sanctuary, it is a temple of the kingdom. So, Amos, you better watch out. That's what's being said here. This is the king's sanctuary. This here is a temple of the kingdom. Don't push it. Flee while you have a chance. See if he can scare Amos. Well, the problem between Amos and Amaziah, or the picture we get from these two men, is really a picture of authority. Where do they get their authority? Amaziah gets his authority from the king. Amos gets his authority from God. So it's a battle of whose authority. It's a confrontation of authority. Amaziah is emboldened to speak this way to this prophet of God because he has authority in his kingdom that he lives in that little world, the king's temple and the temple of the kingdom and Israel, that northern kingdom. He has influence, he has position, he has authority. And Amos's authority comes from a different place, a much different place. Amaziah has confidence. He's a confident man, but it rests in his political connection. He has power. He's in a powerful position. He has power to influence the king, no doubt about it, and he has power to influence the people. When we read, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, not just any priest, sends a message to the king. The priest. He has some connection, and he has some power. And there isn't any man from Judah going to come up here and disrupt all of this thing. He can flex on Amos if he needs to. He can flex. He's got that power. The plumb line has come and revealed that he's corrupt and he doesn't like that. Things are not well in his heart. And rather than turning, hearing the word of God, seeking forgiveness, seeking the Lord, as we read earlier, seeking the Lord and live, he's resting in his power with his political connections, religionist that he is. Now, Amos is different. Don't you love Amos? Amos is so concise in the way that he communicates things to us. Certainly, he had a wide ministry all across the nation, speaking to many people. But the way God, through Amos, communicates to us, Amos has confidence in his call from God. He's very bold. He's not likely to back down. 14, verse 14, then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor prophet's son. Notice the was, indicating he is now. I was no prophet, nor prophet's son. He doesn't come from any privilege, doesn't have any fancy education. He was just minding his own business as a farmer, as a herdsman. He was minding his own business, conducting his own affairs, attempting to raise his family and be in the community and live an upright life. And then God interrupted. God called. I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. Isn't that just like God to use somebody like this? We might think that God would only call those that are coming from a privileged position, maybe like an Isaiah. But here we see that he uses people of all kinds, all backgrounds. I was no prophet, nor was I a prophet's son. I was a herdsman. I was a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me. The Lord took me from following the flock. When the Lord interrupted, Amos had enough sensitivity, spiritually speaking, that he knew not to resist the Lord. When the Lord came, the Lord took me from following the flock, and flock can mean, a herdsman of cattle. It could mean sheep or goats. He was in agriculture. He took me from following the flock, and he said to me, go to my people. Look at that. With all of what we've read through Amos and considered about Amos, God is saying to my people, Israel. God doesn't hate the people. They're his people. My people, Israel. He wants them to turn, and God is angry at their sin and their blasphemy against God, but they are his people. Go and prophesy. Amos has this confidence that comes from his own call. He knew where he stood with God. He knew where he stood in relation to the justice of God, the righteousness of God. Amos knew where he stood in relation to the work of God in his life. That's why he can stand there and shrug at Amaziah and say, give his testimony, I wasn't a prophet, I wasn't a prophet's son, or I was a herdsman, an dresser of sycamore figs, but the Lord took me. He didn't take you, Amaziah, or you would be able to hear what I'm saying. The Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, there is a word that has come to Amos. A word has come to Amos, said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. He's got a work to do. God took me. He took him from somewhere to something else. God has revealed something to him. He's unique. Amos is unique. Israel is unique. But it would be in a similar way today, somebody opening the Bible and in their mind, in their heart, they open the Bible. It could be Romans, for example, or maybe Galatians, for example, or it might be Daniel, or it might be in the book of Genesis, and open the Bible, and the Lord said to me. The Lord does that today. Not an audible voice. It could be an audible voice if God so determined. But it doesn't have to be, and usually not. God said to me, but it's a conviction in a person's heart. They've actually opened the Word of God, and God has said something to them. It's not that they have been in Bible study for 35 years, and they know a lot about the Bible, or that they have some advanced degree and they know a lot about the Bible. They've opened it, and somewhere, some word, some verse, some chapter, God spoke and turned my life. That's what happened to Amos. The Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go and prophesy to my people Israel. He has got a commission in his life. He's got a direction to go. God has taken him. He's minding his own business down there with his agriculture. He's aware of world events. For sure, Amos is. He knows what's going on around him. But God calls him. God has a word for him, and God sends him to go do God's work. So Amos is so confident in his call, the call that came to him. Amaziah can't stand. Some of you need to get confident in the call of God in your life. A lot of wishy-washiness. A lot of wishy-washiness today. Do you have a call of God? It may not be the call of Amos, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, has God called you from anything into something else? Has God given you a word? A word. Doesn't have to be a certain word, but it does need to come out of the book. Has he spoken through a word to you? Or is it your cultural preference to be a part of a church, part of a group of people? I know I sound like a broken record, but you're going to need to be confident in your call. You're going to need to be confident in your call, what God has said in your life. There will be an hour when it will be your turn. I tell you by personal experience, there will be an hour, it is your turn. Who called you? I don't know. You should worry. God will let you know when he's called you. Not everyone is an Amos. Not everyone is an Isaiah. Not everyone is a Peter or a Paul. For sure, we know that. But he's called his people. He calls. He sets his love uniquely on his people. And a word comes and says to that person in their heart, this is how I'm going to conduct myself. They're threatening me with a layoff. You better know where your call came from. You better be real sure. You don't want to be wrong on that. They're threatening me with a layoff. They tell me that I cannot enter the certain university that I want to enter under these convictions. You better be sure
who called you, and that you got a word from God, because otherwise Amaziah is going to come into your life and tempt you, and you're going to shrug and say, well, that's okay. No one will know. God will understand.
Amaziah is not effective against Amos. Go and prophesy to my people Israel, is what God has said. He may have told you, just for example, go and be the kind of father that would honor me in your home. Go prophesy in your home. Be the kind of grandfather that is not so weak you're afraid to prophesy in a place where you might lose. Be the kind of co-worker that works that way. Be the kind of preacher that preaches that way. Confident of who called you, who changed your life. It'd be nice if some people could get a hold of that idea that it's the call of God. It's not the call of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's not the call of the United States of America. It's not the call of some evangelical church. It's not the call of grandfather. It's not the call of some other person that's important in your life. It's the call of God. And do you have a call of God? It seems to be. We live in an age when a lot of religionists don't really demonstrate a call from God. A lot do. A lot do. I say that for sure. But there's plenty that are like Amaziah. They're doing it. They're doing it because, well, they'll be well received if they do it that way. All of that I say with deep love. I'm moving on with deep love. In the times we live in, you are going to have to know for certain the call of God on your life to live for Him. And it will cost you something. It will cost you something. Amaziah's manipulative response to Amos. In the Word of God, that's who he's really resisting. That's who he's really pushing back, is the Word of God. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel and do not preach against the house of Isaac. There it is. Do not bring the Word of God in here. Amaziah, if he'd been called by God, he would have been able to discern there was truth in the message of Amos, but he either didn't know it or he was willing to reject it anyway. So his manipulative response to Amos and the Word of God guaranteed tragic consequences in his life. Verse 17, therefore says the Lord, your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword. This is going to be a tragedy for Amaziah. Your land shall be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land. And that's a tragedy for a man who's living according to trying to be clean, ritually clean, religiously clean. You shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from the land. What I like about that is Amaziah comes with all of the force that I've just tried to describe to you, all of the force and the authority behind him, and Amos comes back and said, yeah, you say don't prophesy. This is what's going to happen to you. It's coming to you because I'm not bringing it. God is. And you're rebelling against the word of God, and you think he's going to stand for it. God's bringing it. Amos stands right in there and tells him, this is what is going to happen to you. Amaziah had no positive response to the word of God. his positive response to all of his religion is not sufficient. He did not have a positive response to the Word of God, and tragedy will come his way. My friends, let's take some time, and I urge you in your life to consider God's call on your life, where He's placed you, the times that He's placed you. You have confidence that the Word of God, God's Word has spoken to you and shaped you and caught a burning love for Him in your heart. Wherever you are, in whatever walk and whatever place in life you are, think about that and how what God has said to you. What is He calling you personally to do? And I think when we do that, we grow stronger, we grow more hopeful, and we grow in better understanding the love of God for His people. Let me pray for us. God, thank You for Amos. Thank You for all of Your prophets, Your Word, Your Scriptures. How would we know these things, God, without You revealing this to us and showing it to us and making it possible all of these centuries to have this Word come down to us? Thank You, God, for Your Word. I pray, God, for any who do not know You personally, have not come to You by faith in repentance of sin, coming to You, Jesus, for eternal salvation, that You would work today in their life to do that. Would You do that, Jesus? Any in this room or those listening to this message? And I pray for Your people. I think of the faces here in this place and people that have walked with You for so many years and so long, some for a lesser time. But God, we all need Your help. We need Your help this week. Help us to grow in our boldness and comfort and rest in Your authority, the authority of Your Word and the authority of You in our life. Help us to rest in You, Jesus, knowing that You will comfort and You bring security where it is needed and how it is needed in the best of ways in our lives. I pray for Your people here. Give them safe passage today. Those struggling with health, Lord, just work mightily, God. Give relief, give healing, give cure, give rest where it is needed. If it be Your will, God, we look forward to meeting back in this place again next week. Amen.